Okay, we are going to go to Jeremiah chapter 34. There are two chapters, and both chapters are small. When we are studying the book of Jeremiah, we are not studying very detailed, even though we are studying verse by verse, because almost we are doing like a survey. So start with the verse 1.
The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord when Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army, and all the kingdoms of the earth of his dominion, and all the people fought against Jerusalem, and against all the cities thereof, saying.
Now, here we see the word of God came to Jeremiah. But at the same time, here in the verse 1, it says, Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem, and not only he says, all his kingdoms of the earth, a lot of power. So maybe he has selected some people and came to destroy the Jerusalem. Now the message comes to the king.
Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, go and speak to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire.
Now the message is going to the king and telling him the enemies are coming, and they are going to burn your city with a fire. This is not a good news. The king feels like helpless. He has a warrior. They have two very strong cities, we will be learning. But in this time, the king like helpless. And Nebuchadnezzar is coming. And God is telling him, you don't have to run away from him. You are going to meet him face to face. Your eyes is going to see him and he is going to see you. That is a scary thing. That some your enemy coming to you face to face to destroy you. Not only you, but going to set your city on fire. Verse 3.
And thou shalt not escape out of his hand, but shalt surely be taken and delivered into his hand. And thine eyes shall behold the eyes of the king of Babylon, and he shall speak with thee mouth to mouth, and thou shalt go to Babylon. Yet hear the word of the Lord, O Zedekiah, king of Judah. Thus saith the Lord of thee, thou shalt not die by the sword, but thou shalt die in peace, and with the burnings of thy fathers, the former kings which were before thee, so shall they burn odors for thee, and they will lament thee, saying, Ah, Lord, for I have pronounced the word, saith the Lord.
Even the king is coming to destroy you, but at the same time, they are not going to kill you with a sword. They are going to carry you. You are going to go to Babylon. You are going to die there in peace. And you will have a good funeral. And the people will be mourning for you, and they might be putting some burning incense for you. And you will have dignifying burial. Don't be scared. You're going to go to foreign land, but you will be safe. Verse 6.
Then Jeremiah the prophet spake all these words unto Zedekiah, king of Judah in Jerusalem. When the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah.
Now see, they came to fight, but there were two cities, Lachish and Hazkab. These two cities were very strong. The armies were there. And so they were protected. So this is the situation. Let's read the verse 8.
I didn't finish 7, actually.
Okay.
When the king of Babylon's army fought against Jerusalem and against all the cities of Judah that were left, against Lachish and against Azekah, for these defensed cities remained of the cities of Judah. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, after that the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem, to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant, and every man his maidservant, being an Hebrew or an Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit of a Jew his brother. Now when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant, and everyone his maidservant, go free, that none should serve themselves of them any more, then they obeyed and let them go.
King was scared, and he thought Now, even though I am going to be safe, but they have all kinds of servants and slaves, what's going to happen? When he going to the Babylon, all his servants will not be there with him to serve him. So he got an idea. I am breaking the law of God. Let's read Exodus chapter 21, verse 2.
If thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing.
Okay, and Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 12 to 15.
And if thy brother, an Hebrew man, or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today.
Okay, this was the law. If you have the Hebrew servant as a slave, after 7 years, you should let him go. But these people were not doing this. God says, you were in the Egypt, you were in the slavery, I bought you out of the slavery, so you should not be keeping your brothers in slavery. So let them go. So the king start thinking, all my servants, they are going to scatter. Why cannot I obey the law of God? If I do that, sometime God might have mercy on me and my people. So he said, let people go. And he made the decree. If anyone has the slave, a Hebrew slave, let these people go. So everybody heard it. Let's go back to the Jeremiah chapter 34, starting from verse 11.
But afterward they turned and caused the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother in Hebrew, which hath been sold unto thee. And when he hath served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight in proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor, and ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name. But ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant and every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure, to return and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord.
Here he says, what you did, let the people go, they were free, they were happy, joyful, all of a sudden you start thinking, hey, why should I let these people free? We are going to get them back and put them to slavery. And that's what he said you did. You gave the people hope. They were happy, they were joyful. And all of a sudden you round them up and bring them to slavery. How you feel? So the people were so sad. They didn't know what to do, but I think God heard their cry. God said, okay, you set these people free, I'm going to set you free. And I thought, this is not a freedom. But God says, you think that you can play game with me, I'm going to do the same. Let's read this verse one more time, verse 17.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, ye have not hearkened unto me in proclaiming liberty, every one to his brother, and every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, saith the Lord, to the sword, to the pestilence, and to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth.
Now see, this is your liberty. You want freedom? I'm going to set you free. Free, you will be scattered all around the world. When you go there, you will have sword, sickness and disease, and famine. And this is your liberty. And all your slaves will not be with you. So what is the use are breaking the God's law and thinking that if I break the law of God, what God is going to do? But God is a just God. And so he says now, you will be punished. And not a single person will be escaped. Only the king will not be killed, because kings try to do the right thing. So God says, okay, king, I'm going to set you free. You go to Babylon and die there peacefully, and we'll have good funeral. But all these your people, they will be scattered, not only to Babylon. They are going to go around the world. And that's why today we see Israeli people are in every country. Okay, let's go back to the Jeremiah chapter 34, starting from verse 18.
And I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they have cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof.
God made the covenant with these people, brought the people out of Egypt, gave them the freedom, told them to what kind of system you should have, made the covenant with them with a blood sacrifice, but these people did not listen. Now what they're doing, they are doing mockery to the God gave them the system to be sanctified or be blessed or sins to be forgiven. Now they are doing something wrong. What this scripture means. But not a single scholar has an answer. When they start reading this scripture, they go back to the time of Abraham. We'll come to that. But that doesn't give them the answer. They are not saying these people are doing anything wrong, but you will see what wrong thing they are doing. Let's read.
The princes of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of their enemies and into the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you.
Okay, now see what happened here. They took the animals, cut into half, one piece this side, one piece this side, and they should be doing a sacrifice. But instead of doing a sacrifice, they are doing a parade. What kind of parade? They started with the priests, princes, even the eunuchs. Some of the eunuchs were not able to go to even the temple. Those eunuchs and all Israeli people, the lineup and did the parade where the carcasses are both sides and they're walking from the middle and doing a parade. Now some people will say, why did they do this? Are they praising God? Are they happy and joyful that they are doing sacrifice and whole country, whole people are walking through this sacrifice? And if that was pleasing in the sight of God, God would bless them. Let's go back to the Genesis chapter 15 and verses 10 and 11.
And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away.
Okay, you have to read the whole passage. Now in this passage, God told Abraham, come out, see the stars. And he saw the stars, and he said, that's the way your children will be. Then he said, I'm going to give this land to you. He says, how are you going to give this land to me? God says, okay. He told him to bring the sacrifice. Heifer, 3 years old. Ram, 3 years old. Goat, 3 years old. Dove and turtle dove. He says, bring for sacrifice. Now Abraham supposed to bring these things and ask God, what should I do now? How should I sacrifice them? Because he never told him before, bring like this many bunch of animals one time to sacrifice. But he was thinking, I'm going to get a promise of children, promise of land. So hastily what he did, cut into animal into two pieces, separate them, all three animals and the birds he did not separate them, and put them there in the daytime. Maybe it was a noontime, or maybe 4 o'clock or so. That was not the right time to do the sacrifice. Sacrifice, the time was the evening sacrifice. When you do evening sacrifice, the birds are already gone. But he was doing hastily earlier, so the birds start coming, and he start chasing the birds. And what the result was? Horror came, fear came, he got tired, and he got into deep sleep. And then God told him, your descendants or your children are going to go to Egypt for 400 years. I don't think that was a blessing. What he asked, I'm going to give you children, I'm going to give you land. He says now 400 years, they are going to go to slavery. Abraham didn't ask, what was my fault? What did I do? God explained to the people later on. Go to the Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 to 17.
And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering.
Start reading from verse 14 to 17.
And if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons. And the priest shall bring it unto the altar, and wring off his head, and burn it on the altar, and the blood thereof shall be wrung out at the side of the altar. And he shall pluck away his crop with his feathers, and cast it beside the altar on the east part by the place of the ashes. And he shall cleave it with the wings thereof, but shall not divide it asunder. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar, upon the wood that is upon the fire. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
Okay, this was the law given later on. Abraham didn't know this. That's why Abraham is supposed to ask God, how can I do this sacrifice? But he did not do it accordingly. And God was mad. And God said, now your children are going to go to foreign land, Egypt, for 400 years. And nobody knows this. Nobody says why this happened. Because of hastiness, not asking God, and not doing the according to the will of God, and doing it early and chasing the birds, that was not the right thing to do. Now from this, Israeli people learned their lesson. Abraham made a mistake. He did the sacrifice, and he's chasing the birds, so he has to go through this sacrifice, and God was not pleased, and that's why they were in Egypt for 400 years. So what these Israeli people start doing it? They did the same way, cut into pieces the animal and start parade. Starting from all the priests and prophets and eunuchs and citizens and everyone start going through this sacrifice. I think those people were mad. They were thinking, if God is going to send us to the foreign land, why should we please God? Why should we do according to his will? Abraham did it, and he sent them to the captivity. So let's do it. That's the only thing I'm seeing is this here. So not a single scholar understand why this happened. This is stubbornness. This is to make a mockery of the covenant of God. And that's what happened. So what God is saying, let's go back to the chapter 35. Start reading from 21. We're going to finish this.
And to Zedekiah, king of Judah, and his princes will I give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from you. Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to the city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without an inhabitant.
See what happened here. God almost turned the enemy other way around. Because of their stubbornness, because of their sin, because of their disobedience, God was almost going to forgive these people. But because they disobey God, God is saying, now this enemy will return. See, read the verse 22.
Behold, I will command, saith the Lord, and cause them to return to the city, and they shall fight against it, and take it, and burn it with fire. And I will make the cities of Judah a desolation without an inhabitant.
See, from this verse, it sounds like God almost turned away the armies because they were coming to the city, and two cities we saw, very strong cities. So they stopped right there. And then God says, okay, my servants is obeying. They are going to let these Israeli people go free. They are going to do the sacrifice. So I'm going to wait for a while. You people go. So the enemy went to their territory. But God saw this sinful activity. He says, I'm going to tell these people to return. And they are going to destroy you, and you are going to run for your life. What the God is saying to us. When God shows mercy on us, we forget. We forget the God's blessing. And we turn around and do the wrong thing. When the problem comes, we pray, Lord, this time, if you save me, if you heal me, I'm going to do the right thing. And when God does, you just forget and you do your own thing. So what God is going to do? God said, listen, you cannot get away with the breaking the law. I'm going to let the enemy return and destroy you. Our 34th chapter finishes. Let's go to the chapter 35.
The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go into the house of the Rechabites, and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink.
When I'm studying the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah is not written by chronologically. It's written by backward and forward. The chapter 34 talks about King Zedekiah. Chapter 35 is talking about King Jehoiakim. Now Jehoiakim, king, is before Zedekiah. So what happens here is giving an example what happened. Why God was mad and what happened, why the people are going to exile. And that's why his 35 chapter is talking. But the 35 chapter should be first, and 34 chapter should be after 35. But this is like a Jeremiah writing a story after this whole thing happened. I don't know why he did it. Maybe he wrote 34 and then remember, hey, let me tell these people what happened in the time of Jehoiakim. And that's what happened, but doesn't matter how it is, we are going to study. Now here he's saying, here God is giving them an example. Sometimes what God does, we do not understand. God is trying to tell these people, Jeremiah, you know what? There is a group of people called Rechabites and their family. These people you bring to the temple one of the chambers and put there wine and tell these people to drink wine. Jeremiah didn't know why God is telling this, but he has to obey the Lord, and he said, okay, I'm going to do it. See what happens.
Then I took Jaazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons, and the whole house of the Rechabites, and I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shallum, the keeper of the door. And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups, and I said unto them, drink ye wine. But they said, we will drink no wine, for Jenadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever. Neither shall ye build house, nor sow seed, nor plant vineyard, nor have any. But all your days ye shall dwell in tents, that ye may live many days in the land where ye be strangers. Thus have we obeyed the voice of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, in all that he hath charged us, to drink no wine in all our days, we, our wives, our sons, nor our daughters, nor to build houses for us to dwell in, neither have we vineyard, nor field, nor seed. But we have dwelt in tents, and have obeyed, and done according to all that Jonadab, our father, commanded us.
Now here is the story. There is a group of people, the family of Jonadab. This is the family never drank wine because their forefathers told them not to do it. They obeyed the forefathers, not drinking wine, not building the houses, not buying the land and sowing the seed, not having any kinds of farms, and they lived like strangers. And that's the way their life was. God was showing people when they came from Egypt and they dwelt in the tents. Not only that, every time the Passover time, God told them to make a booth and live in a booth. But what happened? When the children of Israel came to the promised land, they start building the houses. And if you remember, we studied, they build the houses like carving the stone, putting another stone in the stone, and making a very strong built houses. And they thought, no enemy can destroy us. And that was pride. God was not in it. So now God is showing them a group of people. Brought them to the temple. And this was a tricky place. If they would have gone to some kind of junkyard and put a wine there and drink, these people would say, oh no, we don't. But they brought it to the temple, showing that God allowing us to drink, why don't you drink? They said, no sir, temple or no temple, I'm not going to disobey my father. Our father told us not to drink wine, not to buy houses or build the houses, buy the farms and sow the seed. We are not going to do it. And so they said, we obeyed from our childhood. We don't drink, our wives don't drink, our children don't drink, and we do not disobey our father's command. Can you imagine how much this family had the love for their forefathers? Or their children will say, okay, now we did it up to second generation. Now we don't have to do what we have to do. We can do whatever we want to do. These people, generation to generation, obeyed the commandment. There was a young boy, went for camping, maybe 7 years old or so, and all other 7 years, 10 years old boys start smoking. And somebody came and said, hey, why don't you smoke? I said, no, my mom told me not to smoke. He said, your mom is not here. And so everybody is doing it. Why don't you do it? He said, my mom is not here, but her commandment is here. She told me not to do it. And even though if I disobey, God is watching over me. I cannot disobey my mom. And that's the kind of seed you should be putting in your children's heart. This family, they obeyed the father, they obeyed their children and grandchildren, and nobody's disobeying God. So God is bringing these people and showing Jeremiah and Israeli people, look at this family. They are just obeying their father. But I am your heavenly father. You are not obeying me. Look at this family. Let's go and read the rest of the chapter.
But it came to pass, when Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came up into the land, that we said, come, and let us go to Jerusalem for fear of the army of the Chaldeans, and for fear of the army of the Syrians. So we dwell at Jerusalem.
What these people are saying, you know what? We came to Jerusalem because the armies are coming, and we got scared, so we came here. Otherwise, you will never know us what kind of life we are living. So we are in a city. That doesn't mean we should obey you and do whatever your city people are doing it. We are not going to do it. People in the farm area, they are not with the city people. But when you come from the farm or village, all of a sudden you come to city, movie theaters, dancing, all kinds of things, and then you get into those kind of things, even though you didn't do it in your young age. Here is the lesson. They said, listen, we came to the city. That doesn't mean we have to do the city rules. You are drinking in the temple. You are drinking everywhere. We are not going to disobey our father's command. Verse 12.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go and tell the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, will ye not receive instruction to hearken to my words, saith the Lord? The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his sons not to drink wine, are performed. For unto this day they drink none but obey their father's commandments. Notwithstanding, I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye hearkened not unto me.
See, here is God is saying, those people obeyed their parents, obeyed their father, never drank wine, never disobeyed their father, but you are not listening and you are disobeying me. From early in the morning, I send the prophet, I send the messenger, day after day. Jeremiah said, I 23 years continuously I preached. They did not listen. Let's read verse 15.
I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now, every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers, but ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. Because the sons of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have performed the commandments of their father, which he commanded them, but this people hath not hearkened unto me.
I send the prophet from morning, day by day. And what was the message? Do not do idol worship. Do not follow other gods. Listen and obey the commandment of God. Year after year, day after day, you did not listen. That's why I send this group of people, an example to you, how these people obeying their one father. But I am your heavenly father. I am the creator of heavens and earth. I am the one brought you out of Egypt. I am the one supplied all your needs. I am the one defeated all your enemies. I am the one give you grace to build the houses and palaces. But now, you did not obey me. Even though these people came and gave an example, you should have said, wow, if this one family can live according to the father and according to their grandfather's teaching, we should repent. And we should say, we want to follow this group of people. and you went for a conference or you went for a revival meeting and you got saved, you saw people, how they're praising God, how they're excited, you come back, you should be looking for that kind of church. But what happened? You go back to your church, give the testimony. Oh, I saw some people getting healed and I saw people getting saved and this and that. You say, hey, we don't want to hear this. And they will make that person some kind of miserable and he will never talk again. And he will be just like them again later on. So point I'm making, these people supposed to get the message. God sent these people, gave an example, a small group of people living according to the will of God. Why can we do it? And these people said, we will never change. We will obey our fathers. Who tells us to disobey our father? We will never do it. That's the way we have to do it. Never compromise. If you are a born again believer and you're traveling to another country or another place and there is no church, so you saw some church which is not even preaching the full gospel, don't go and sit there because you had to go to church. If you sit there for a while, you will be just like them again. There is a saying in our language, donkey and a cow, they are not the same animal. Donkey makes a different noise. Cow makes a different noise. But you tie them together in one row. Do you know what the donkey does? If you go close and if he doesn't know you, he will kick you with his back legs. And so the people get scared. Cow starts seeing, he does this thing and people run away. So cow doing the same thing. How it happened? The cow learned from the donkey to kick. You have a small child and you have a dog. And your child is maybe 1 year old. Dog is barking all the time. And the boy learns dog barking. And he tells the mommy, this is the way I like the language. But if you tie your dog near your son or a daughter and don't pay attention, year or two, that child will only bark. Never learn any other language. So here we see, God is saying, I'm giving an example that this group of people live a clean and holy life. I want you to change and turn around and learn from them. But they are not learning. Okay, verse 17.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the evil that I have pronounced against them, because I have spoken unto them, and they have not heard, and I have called unto them, but they have not answered.
Now here he's saying, again, I call my people, I told them, I gave them example, but they are not returning. They are not turning around. That's the reason I'm sending them to the foreign land. Nobody can find fault in God. God is not unjust. God gives warning after warning after warning. You don't listen? Then he says, listen, I already told you. You don't want to listen. So this was the situation in chapter 35. These people get the warning, and if they would all listen, if they would all say, listen, God is showing us something. We are going to change. We are going to obey. We are going to follow God. And disaster would not come. Verse 18.
And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab the son of Rechab shall not want a man to stand before me forever.
What does it mean? He says, you obeyed your father, you did the right thing, the time will come. All your people, you might be generation, may be growing more, but not a single person from your family will be lost. I will never destroy you, and there will be no lacking in your family, that the people will not be spiritual. They were all obeying. This many people obeyed. God says, I know all rest of the people will be believing. And there will be no judgment for you. You will be not going to hell, but you will be saved. That's the promise. Day after day, year after year, we are listening to the word of God. And if there is no change of heart, what God will do? God will punish us. But if you say, Lord, I'm sorry. Whatever the things I was doing, if it is not pleasing in your sight, please forgive us. Shall we rise? Okay, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. Without you and without your grace, we cannot stand even 1 minute. Father, we thank you for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Jesus Christ is coming soon. Whatever we are learning, the truth, we want to follow the truth. The enemy has no power over us. We belong to Jesus Christ. Our right and left. Thousands of people dying. We see with our own eyes. But Jesus Christ has defeated the devil. We are in the victory side. God is going to bless us and use us mightily for the glory of God. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. Bless your people and use your people for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Please be seated.